So today, the next part of the process is fully underway for us. On this day, it's about the ball. And we make a big emphasis, obviously, on third down, and we get a little bit of work in the red zone. But that's where it is for us today. And our ability defensively to ball hawk it and on offensively making great decisions. So this day, we challenge one another to get that part right. Both teams have created 20 takeaways this season. And so both teams know how to get it. I think that's a real factor in this game. So third down's a big emphasis today, but we love the process we go through to get ready, and we rely on one another to do that. So injury standpoint, the only one who won't participate today will be Hooper, and then past that we'll have some guys limited. But from that standpoint, we're doing in good shape. So be glad to open it up to questions, getting ready for the game.
Is there any concern about Taylor Gabriel's foot injury at all?
He'll be limited today. So I'm anxious to take him through the next 3 days and see where he goes. But I'm not concerned, but I want to make sure he goes through the whole process and looks great. He's such a factor for us.
Did he get hurt in the last game?
He did, yep. Yeah, he strained his foot. So hopefully he'll be doing better today and participating and getting all the way through.
Last time against New Orleans, Julio had just one catch. Can you talk about maybe getting him more involved early, or, I'm sure he'll be involved.
Yeah, for sure he will. As far as when, and that type of thing, we'll see what the looks provide and how it goes. Each week it's a little unique in terms of how people, want to defend you, and, we'll take a look for them. I think both teams are, they're different defensively than they were in the first game, and we're, defensively different as well. So I think both defenses are playing better than they were in that matchup. But as far as who goes, for sure he's always a real factor in what we do.
Will he be full go today?
He'll be working a good bit today. As far as full for him, we'll make a determination how how much he goes. But, he'll certainly be out there and getting rolling with the guys.
What generally is the center asked to do in Kyle's offense in terms of extending blocks, and how much more does Alex sort of go beyond what might be considered the call?
The norm, yeah, for sure. It's a good question. It was one that we showed actually in our team meeting today, iron sharpened iron to get ready. And it ended up being a wide zone play. But it's his ability to sustain on the second level. And you can imagine as a linebacker, an outside run, towards the sideline, that guy can really go. And he has opportunities to go over the top of a player or try to fall and, duck back under a block. What Alex is so good, he's got great balance. So he can stay on his feet and sustain blocks at the second level. So I think oftentimes we just assimilate he's blocking the guy right across from him, which is true a lot of the time. But a center also, in the combinations that we do, there's times he has the linebacker. So for him to climb and get to the next level, whether it be a linebacker or a safety, and sustain that block, that goes unnoticed. And I think that's what makes him a unique player, not only in our system, but the way he can get to the next level.
And you'd have to be in pretty darn good shape.
Yeah, you'd have to have, yeah.
To do that for 4 quarters.
And he is, but it's the way that he goes after it in practice, in up to the ball and quickly making his call. And so he tries to push that tempo in practice. So when he gets to the game, he's been in those spots. It's one of the things we kind of count on him to set it off out of the huddle, getting it called, setting the information that goes and runs and passes. He's right at the very front of it. And his ability to get to the second level is probably, for a big guy, he's really good at that. And he's big like a guard, but quick like a center.
How have you handled talking to your team about what's at stake Sunday, possibly,
it's honestly right back to us, the process we go through. I was really pleased with the team. We have a real process we go through to get ready, and we rely on one another to get ready. We have a language that we talk to one another that helps us through the week. And then the last part is the brotherhood to, hold each other accountable. So I thought it was really important for our team getting right back to what we do to get ready. And then we can leave the things for past that right in its space. So we try to make what we're doing the primary focus. And so like yesterday, it was all about could we nail and have a great Wednesday, all the things that go in. We kind of use the analogy as you're going through Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you're filling up this bucket with all the information and all the stuff, and then it gets to Sunday and you just empty it and go for it as hard as you can in the very best way. And then that's what we did, and now we're into that process again for these guys. So when you play a division team, there's extra information that the players know one another better, and you really don't have to look much past that. So it's been a good process that we're off to so far.
Seems like every team in the NFC South has a lot of good defensive tackles these days, and Sheldon Rankin is a good young
player. He is a good one.
I missed some time earlier in the year, but what have you seen from him?
and you know, saw him coming out of college, and that was where I first, you know, found out, you know, how good he was, how disruptive he is. One of the things that goes unnoticed about their front is the amount of tackles for loss that they've created. And I don't know where Cam's at, but he's at also, you know, at the end, you know, he's got quite a few, too. I would imagine he's, you know, in high double digits. So between the two of them, they're a handful, you know, when they put them to the same side and are disruptive. And at defensive tackle, sometimes the stats don't show up in terms of sacks. That's the look of a number that, you know, oftentimes gets looked at. But when you're disruptive and move people and cause, you know, havoc and create, you know, plays in the backfield in the run game, I've seen that, you know, with their front.
You talked about their receivers the other
day.
Which, if you had to pick one of them, would you say was the most dangerous of them all?
No way. You're not getting me on that one, Vaughn. But I will share this with you because I did share it with the team. What makes them so hard to defend is that everybody's live. And so how do you feature the players, you know, much like our guys, how do we feature and use the guys? But you can't have that many catches and say, well, you know, where it gets spread around so much and say one's more important than the other. And oftentimes when you play a team, okay, you better stop this guy, you know. He's got X amount of catches, X amount of yards, X amount of touchdowns. So when everyone's live, that's a real thing. And the other thing that doesn't get brought up a bunch is how – active the running backs are in their game, and it has been that way for years. So running backs often get catches because screens and that, and that's true. They're a very good screen team, but they're involved in more than that because, much like our backs, they're able to use them out of the backfield and get to empty. So I think what makes all of them so good is the power of the group. And this route may come open for this guy and this one for this one, but they all have unique roles in terms of how to play. Big guys and fast guys and, you know, guys you can go in the slot. How do they feature the tight end in line or split them out, running backs in the backfield or out? So they're a handful, and it's a challenge that we're pumped about, too. We feel like we're a better version of ourselves, too, so we're pumped for this matchup as well.
Dan, what have you seen in Drew's play over the years? I mean, where he is now to where you saw three, four years ago?
It's the ability that he goes to attack. And what I was just kind of like even saying to Vaughn, where he's able to put the ball to any number of different spots. And he has a real vision, okay, in this route, I like these two spots. In this one, I like this. In this coverage, I may go here to here. And we were talking the other day to say in 10 or 11 years together in a system with somebody in the same house, you've had a lot of reps and a lot of turns at specific things that you know that you like. And I think that's totally shown up for him. These concepts, these ones against this coverage, against this look, I've been really impressed. It's the accuracy that he can throw it with where a guy's guarded well, and it's put in the right spot for that coverage and you know, knowing what leverage you have. So he's as challenging as you can go against in our league. And I think his – you know, resume speaks for itself in that way, just knowing, you know, he knows how to carve it up.
When they get older, people talk about slippage. Have you seen it?
I have not. And I think a few years ago, I can't remember when it was, I'll use the reference of Tom Brady. Remember, it was a bad game against Kansas City, and they got beat. And I remember pretty sure later that year they did pretty well. Yeah, against a team I knew pretty well. So I would say those comments is always, always better. Let's look at the tape. And the tape shows that Drew's playing at a really high level.